If you're hearing this, you must love horror, science fiction, and weird tales. You can help spread that love by signing up at patreon.com/LordBloodDraw. There you can help support the production of Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Auditorium, the podcast featuring chilling old-time radio horror shows best listened to in the dark. Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Theater, presenting the best, worst, and wildest horror and science fiction films ever made. And Captain Paxar's Star Cadet Hour, the kind of show kids in the 60s and 70s would run home from school to see, featuring classic science fiction heroes like Flash Gordon, Tom Corbett Space Cadet, Captain Z-Ro, and many more. Plus, if you sign up, you'll have access to exclusive content available nowhere else, like Lord Bloodraw's B-movie reviews, radio episode commentaries, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/LordBloodDraw for the love of horror.
Ah, I'm so glad you're here. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Lord Bloodraw. I host horror and science fiction films on my TV series, Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rack and Theater, but here, in this cool, intimate darkness, I'll be presenting tales of horror and the uncanny solely for you, alone. In this auditorium within your mind, you will coalesce the settings and the players from the ether of your imagination. Your terror will be your own creation. This is the sorcery of sound, the subtle magic of old-time radio. Horror.
Please leave your eyes at the door. You will not need them. This is Lord Bloodraw's Nerve Rackin Auditorium.
Love can warm the heart and stir the soul to great heights of soaring bliss. And the dark side of love, jealousy, can make the heart turn ice cold and drive the soul to heinous, inhuman acts. Take tonight's tale as an example. From Mystery House comes the tale, The Thirsty Death, starring Bela Lugosi and John Carradine.
This is Bela Lugosi, welcoming you to Mystery House.
Mystery House, starring Bela Lugosi. Mystery House, where live again the stories of the greatest mystery theater the world has ever known, the Grand Guignol of Paris. Mystery House, where tonight the distinguished actor John Carradine joins Bela Lugosi in presenting The Thirsty Death.
Good evening, folks. This is Ken Carpenter. If I sound a little nervous, it's not really my fault. I'm usually a pretty steady guy, calm as anyone, but, well, this is asking too much. Bela Lugosi alone is enough to scare you. John Carradine isn't exactly soothing to your nerves, but put them together in a story set in darkest Africa with mad dogs howling in the background and, find out for yourself.
Now, the curtain rises on The Thirsty Death, starring Bela Lugosi and his guest at Mystery House, John Carradine. You hear those native drums? You know what they're saying? Yves Plazanda does. That is why her heart is pounding to the mounting cadence of those ceaseless drums. That's why she's hurrying faster, faster, hurrying through the North African forest in the oppressive heat of this humid afternoon. And that is why Mallard, her native houseboy, follows unwillingly, his eyes rolling fearfully in their wide sockets.
Mallard, faster. Walk faster.
Missus, please. Better we go by.
Don't talk such nonsense.
But, missus, thirsty death walks. All around us is thirsty death. You hear, missus? Do you hear?
Oh, stop gibbering like a frightened child. Oh, anyway, we've gone too far to turn back now.
No.
We're almost halfway to the village.
No, better we go back. Better we... Oh, oh, too hard.
Mallard, don't leave me here alone. Open the door and let me in.
Eve, it is you.
Rene.
Couldn't believe my own ear. Come in, come in.
Oh, I had no idea this was your house, Rene. I knew you lived somewhere near here, but...
What happened?
I was on my way to the village when Mallard, my houseboy, became frightened and ran away. There was a mad dog somewhere near.
Well, so I have something to thank the epidemic for, after all. Who would have thought back in Paris that we should meet again like this?
Oh, Rene, please.
Yes, forgive me. I was so taken away at seeing you. Oh, sit down. Let me pour you some water.
Oh, thank you.
Here, drink. Fasty, you make yourself ill.
More, please.
Well, a little more will be all right, I suppose.
I never knew before what a thirst could mean.
Imagine those poor devils out there, hundreds of them who have hydrophobia.
Here.
Whatever induced you to set foot outside your door?
Oh, it was foolhardy of me, I know. My husband had to leave for the coast. To be gone at least a week. And the prospect of being shut in all alone, except for my terrified houseboy.
Yes, the natives are in a dreadful panic. My own houseboy, Gildas, ran off and deserted me yesterday. But you say you were on your way to the village.
Well, perhaps you know the Chabours. I was going to stay with them until Francois, my husband, returned.
Eve, are you happy with him?
Him? You mean my husband? Of course we're happy. Very happy.
And why, when I first learned who the new doctor and his wife were, did you send back word by Gildas that I would not be welcome in your home?
Because
you were afraid that seeing me might rekindle our love? Wasn't that it?
No, no, Rene. Because Francois is such a jealous husband.
Middle-aged men with beautiful young wives usually are.
Well, I'm rested now. I must be on my way to the village. If I'm to make it by nightfall.
But you can't go out there again.
I must. Oh! Rene, you loved me once.
I love you still.
Then go with me. Take me to the village.
Very well. You're still tired. Rest a bit longer, and then we'll stop.
Strange, isn't it, Renee?
Strange and wonderful. And doesn't it prove something to you, Eve? When you sent me away back there in Paris, because your parents wished you to marry this Dr. Plassin, I chose the farthest, most inaccessible, most uncivilized spot I could think of.
Yet here I am, too.
Eve.
With my husband.
Does he know that you were once in love with another? With me?
With another, yes. I'm not sure. Oh, dog.
You said one spine a-tingling. But I'll have my gun, of course.
Hydrophobia turned him into such a snarling, howling, frothing beast that they had to smother him between two mattresses.
Oh, it's a ghastly disease. And yet there are fools, criminal fools, who refuse to obey the order that all dogs be killed. I didn't hesitate to kill all four of my pets. Eve, why do you suddenly look at me like that?
Oh, nothing.
There's a dog in your home, isn't there?
Yes.
What, that sheer folly?
Francois refuses to do away with him. That's another reason why I couldn't bear to remain home. I was afraid.
What manner of man is this husband of yours?
He says he needs the dog for experiments. Please, Rene, we mustn't delay any longer. It gets dark so suddenly out here.
Very well. I'll get my gun.
Rene.
What's the matter?
Somebody's outside.
Probably Gildas, that poor houseboy of mine, coming back at last.
No, it...
Eve, who was it you said you saw just through the windows? Why do you...
My husband.
About what you said.
He mustn't find me here, Renee. He's so insanely jealous, he'll think he mustn't find me here.
Wait, go upstairs. There's a bedroom.
All right.
Who's there? Oh, good evening.
Good evening, monsieur. I'm Dr. Plaisant.
Oh, new doctor. Well, won't you come in?
Thank you.
I am René Bramant.
Yes, I've heard of you. I think that back in Paris we had a a mutual friend.
You must be mistaken, my dear doctor. I am from Marseille.
So, you are an obliging host.
To your health, Dr. Plasson.
And yours, Monsieur Bremont. Blended liqueur. I must say, a comfortable place you have here.
Thank you, Doctor.
This, I presume, is your living room.
It's a very small place.
Just the kind of place that would appeal to my wife. We're thinking of building next year, and if you don't mind, I'd like to take a look at the bedroom.
No. That is all. I'd rather you didn't.
Oh. The bedroom is occupied, perhaps?
Of course not. I'm here all alone.
Then?
Well, Doctor, I might as well confess.
Yes?
Gildas, my houseboy, deserted me yesterday.
Well,
the bedroom is in a frightful mess. I must ask you to wait until some other time to see it.
As you wish.
Now, Doctor, at the risk of seeming a rude host, I must remind you that it will soon be dark.
You think I should be on my way?
After all, Dr. Poisson, you of all people should be aware of the menace that lurks in the forest. There's still mad dogs loose after dark.
Oh, yes. Those mad dogs. And me completely out of serum.
Out of serum? Good heavens. Can't you get some more?
The whole district has run out. I intended leaving for the coast today to get a supply, but...
Yes?
But something very significant came to my attention. So I sent someone else.
Doctor, it's such a long trip. Why? This means that for at least a week, every case of hydrophobia in this district must necessarily be fatal.
Yes, monsieur. What ghastly cases we had. Death so horrible that even I, who have seen so much of death, was utterly revolted.
And yet you are so righteous to keep a dog in your own house.
What's that, monsieur? What's that? You know I have a dog? Then she told you.
She? I don't know who you mean.
Who told you?
Gildas, my houseboy, Gildas. You know how these natives chatter. He heard it from your houseboy.
A most unusual servant, that Gildas. First leaves your bedroom a frightful mess so that I can't see it. And now he tells you about a dog.
Dr. Poisson, you must do away with the dog. It's too dangerous. Why, just think if your wife...
Your solicitude for my wife's safety touches me deeply, Monsieur Bremont. Too bad she couldn't be along with me on this present.
Yes, it is.
But perhaps we shall all three be together. Quite soon. Goodbye, monsieur.
Goodbye, doctor.
Yeah. Eve, you can come down now.
Oh, Renee. Oh, I was so frightened. I can hardly stand.
Pedro's a ghost. Here, sit down.
I thought he'd never go. When he asked to see the bedroom.
Eve. He knew you were here.
You think so?
His very manner in asking to see the bedroom. And his reaction when I forgot myself and spoke of the dog.
Yes, yes. I tried to tell myself otherwise, but I know it's true. Didn't he even speak of a mutual friend in Paris? He meant me.
Of course.
He knows we were once sweethearts. And now, the way things happen...
Don't, Eve, don't. I can't bear to see you like this. What if he does know? You've done no wrong. God knows you've been a faithful wife.
But I told you how jealous Francois is. He'll never believe the truth, never.
What kind of a devil is he? That you should cower and cringe before him.
Oh, you don't know what he's capable of.
Then why don't you divorce him? You don't love him, you never have.
He'd never consent to a divorce. He's told me so.
Then leave him anyway. Eve, darling, come away with me. Come away to the other end of the earth. I'll make you happy, I swear I will. Everything we once hoped and dreamed together...
Oh, Renee, don't, please. You're only making me feel worse. As long as I'm his wife, I couldn't.
Yes. I suppose I knew that.
Look, night has closed in already. We've got...
Eve, what's the matter? If I hadn't caught you then, you'd have fallen.
Oh, it's just nerves. I'll be all right. We've got to start for the village at once, Renee.
But you're in no condition to ever make it here. Do you realize how far it is?
Yes, but I...
Those mad dogs prowling in the blackness of the forest?
I can't stay here.
Why not? You can have the bedroom upstairs. I'll sleep down here on the couch.
Do you think he'd ever believe this?
I have an idea. Why didn't I think of it before? Some friends of mine, an elderly couple, have a place down by the river. I'll take you there at dawn. They'll say you were here, you were there all the time.
You really think they will?
Positive, Eve. We were probably wrong about your husband knowing you were here. We just imagined things. Everything's going to turn out all right.
Renee! Renee!
Eve, what is it? What's the matter?
Oh, Renee. Oh, I had such a terrible nightmare. I woke up screaming.
Poor thing, you're actually trembling.
What time is it?
Well, as a matter of fact, we'd have had to get up soon anyway. It's just about dawn.
Well, then if you don't mind, I'll go back downstairs with you. I hate to be alone.
Sure thing. I'll start right in fixing breakfast.
I had a restless night, too.
Wouldn't be a bit surprised if I was going to have another bout of malaria.
My head's spinning, and I ache all over.
Sit down. I like the lamp.
Yes, too. It's eerie blackness.
Oh, here's a match.
Oh, there. The light from the lamp makes me feel better already. I can almost laugh at my horrible dream now.
Was it about the dogs?
Yes, about the little dog Nero that my husband refused to kill. I dreamed that right before my eyes, the dog changed into the shadowy figure of a man.
No wonder you woke up screaming.
But that was only the beginning of the dream. It seemed to me that I woke up there in the bedroom upstairs, and the shadowy figure was leaning over me. I was so paralyzed with fright, I couldn't move. And then I heard this thing go out of my room and close the door. Then it seemed to me that I lay there in eternity, trying to scream but unable to utter a sound. Finally, I found my voice.
Eve.
Renee, you do look ill. I hadn't noticed before how...
Eve, I had a strange dream, too. I also dreamed that a shadowy figure was moving about in here.
No.
Then I dreamed the figure went out and barred the doors and windows from the outside.
Renee, look. The windows are barred. Quick, the door, test it.
Still be ringing. Can't be. It's true. The door is locked and barred from the outside.
Whoever you are there, open the door.
We've got to get out of here. We've got to get out of here.
Well, I hope you're not frightened yet, because this isn't anything. Wait till you hear Bela Lugosi and John Carradine in the second act of The Thirsty Death. And wait till you hear those howling dogs.
We left Eve Plazon and Rene Bremond beating senselessly on the barred door. The barred door which keeps them prisoners there in the Subramans' lodge, remote in the North African forest. As we return to them now in the ghostly dawn, they are still hammering their fists on the door in a fit of panic, still shouting hopelessly for help.
Stop, Eve! Stop! Stop it, Eve! We're behaving like panicky children. We've got to be calm. We've got to think this thing through like rational human beings.
Calm, Eve? Rational?
Yes, of course. We wake up and find the door and windows barred from the outside. Now, is that any reason to give way to terror?
Shadowy figure, Renee. He must have had a purpose. A ghastly purpose.
Nonsense. He only existed in your imagination. And I dare say you transplanted him to mine. For all we know, Gildas may have done this just as a joke.
You don't really believe that, Renee?
Certainly I do. Or if it wasn't Gildas, maybe it was some native with a twisted sense of humor.
Oh, Renee, we've got to get out of here.
Naturally. It shouldn't be very difficult if we use our heads. Now, let's see. Why, of course. I have a hatchet over here in the drawer.
Oh, Renee.
Go on.
Renee, he took it. Whoever locked us in took it.
Now, don't get hysterical again. I can always fire my revolver. Maybe it might help that way.
Well, then hurry, hurry.
See, the cartridges are over here in the other drawer. No.
Cartridges. They're gone, too.
They're gone, too.
Renee, the door. Somebody's there.
It's opening. Dr. Plazon.
Ah, good morning, Monsieur Bremond. And Eve, my dear wife. Aren't you happy to see your devoted husband again?
You locked us in, didn't you?
Yes, it was you.
Stand where you are, monsieur. I shall feel impelled to use my gun.
Dr. Plazon, what sort of comedy do you think you're playing?
A romantic one, but only as a supporting player. I'm sure you'll be the first to admit that.
Oh, no, 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 Francois. It isn't true what you're thinking.
We can explain everything if you'll only give us a chance.
I'm sure it would be a most ingenious alibi.
You blind, stupid, jealous fool.
I demand that you let us out of here at once.
Let you out? Oh, no. I couldn't do that. It would be criminal.
Criminal?
Decidedly, you are dangerous.
What riddles are you speaking now?
Not riddles, facts.
Oh, he's gone mad, completely mad.
No, my dear wife, I'm not mad, but unfortunately, it will soon be impossible to say the same about one of you.
What?
Which one? Me?
Perhaps. And then again, perhaps it is she. Who knows?
What are you talking about?
Tell us what you have to say and be done with it.
Very well, Monsieur Brimond. Remember telling me that I ought to have killed my little dog.
What about it?
I have been forced to follow your advice, monsieur. You see, the dog had become rabid.
Oh.
But what has that to do with us?
Patience. Patience. What will interest you particularly is that last night, after I killed the poor dog, I filled my hypodermic needle with its saliva.
With its saliva?
Yes, its saliva, brimming with hydrophobia. And then I came back here. Came back all the way to the forest. And came back with my hypodermic needle.
That was really you. You that I saw leaning over my bed.
And then you injected the needle into me. You monster! You infected us both.
No, no, not both. Just one of you. Don't you remember my saying?
So which one?
Which one did you infect?
It wasn't me.
Or me, in the name of heaven, man.
Very soon you'll find out. For very soon, the one who is infected will begin to feel symptoms. You're quite unmistakable, I assure you. First, just a general feeling of sickness, steadily growing worse.
And I'm the one. I woke up feeling ill.
And what about me? I thought it was malaria.
Next will come that awful, crucifying thirst. And then the final stage. The transformation into a snarling, frothing, howling beast that will bite and tear and stand back, Grimond, or I shoot.
Dr. Pizarre, by all that is holy, I swear that we are innocent.
Oh, yes, Francois, yes.
Have you no mercy?
I have only advice. There in the drawer. Where you failed to find the hatchet, I left a knife.
A knife?
Oh, it's not sharp enough or strong enough to tear open the door or window bars. However, when the mad person attacks the healthy one, the knife will prove useful. Goodbye.
If we only knew which one of us it was.
Not me. He wouldn't have done it to me. He wants me. He wouldn't destroy me. It's you, Rennie. He did it to you.
You're just saying that, Eve. You know in your heart it isn't true. Suspicion has turned his love for you into inhuman hatred. You're the one he'd want to destroy, not me. It's you he's infected. You.
First, just a general feeling of sickness. Steadily growing worse.
General feeling of sickness. Steadily growing worse. What he said.
What's that you're saying, Eve?
Renee, there's no longer any doubt about it. It was me that he infected.
No. It was me. Just as he said, the symptoms are unmistakable. Why should I lie to myself or you any longer? I'm the victim.
You're sure, Renee? You're positive?
Good to God that I weren't. General feeling of sickness.
Come that awful crucifying thirst. That awful crucifying thirst.
Renee, where is the water?
Empty.
No.
That devil. He must have poured out all the water.
Poured out all the water. And I'm so thirsty. So horribly, terribly thirsty.
You are? Eve, you are? Then you must be the one.
Water. Why you give me water? I can't have water.
And then, final stage. Transformation of the starving, frothing, howling beast that you...
Why do you stand there looking at me, Renee? Water! You've got to have water!
There's nothing I can do, Eve. Nothing!
You've got to do something!
There in the drawer where you failed to find the hatchet, I left a knife. When the mad person attacks the healthy one, The knife will prove useful.
Rene! What are you doing with that rod?
Why, I...
Put down that knife, Rene! Put it away. Put it away, did you hear it?
Eve, stay away from me, I warn you.
He's going to kill
Don't
me.
Come a step closer. If you do, I'll
knife.
Have to use this knife.
Get
We're locked in here together, Eve, and there's nothing I can do but use this knife.
Help! Help!
Doctor, see, I come back. I come back.
Yes, Mallet, you come back.
Missus, where is she?
I think she is. The home was Monsieur Bremont, where you took her.
Monsieur Bremont? No, no, Doctor. Mallet not take Missus anywhere. Mallet get scared of dogs, run away and leave Missus all alone in forest. Come back now to say very sorry.
Don't lie to me. You took her to Monsieur Bremont yesterday. Just as you had probably taken her many times before.
No, no.
Tell me, Mallard, how much did she pay you for keeping her secret?
Secret? What secret you talk about?
Don't taunt me about. You lied there.
Oh.
It won't do any good. I found her with Monsieur Bremont.
Who is this Monsieur Bremont? Mallard, not know.
If you say that once more, I'll flood you. The game is up. I've caught her with her lover and...
Mallet not know what you talk. Yesterday, Mrs. say go with her to village. On way, dog come. Mallet run. Leave Mrs. behind. Now, come back to say very sorry.
A very clever story, Mallet. Yeah. And who knows?
Yeah.
I might have been fool enough to believe it. If not for death.
Oh, you get letter.
Yes, a letter. Last night, while visiting Monsieur Bremont's lodge, I found it in a drawer hidden under a box of cartridges. It's in her own handwriting.
Doctor, what letter say?
I couldn't bear to read what my wife wrote to her lover. I haven't read it. But I will now. I'll read it now.
This is very good to Marley. Very good to Marley. Doctor, what is it? Why you...
Renee. Everything that once was between us is forgotten and must forever remain that way. Please, I beg you, never come to see me. And if ever we chance to meet, remember I am Madame Pleasant and not the girl who... Oh, dear God! What have I done?
Doctor, where you go?
Quick, Barrett, come! Maybe there is yet time.
Let me out, for God's sake. Let me out of here.
Yes, yes. Quick, Marit, help me get the door open.
Missus.
How did you expect to find her?
So you killed her.
Yes, I killed her. I was only your instrument. You gave her that monstrous disease.
Eve. Eve.
Look at her now. Your wife. Your beautiful young wife. You and your hypodermic needle. You made her into a frothing, howling, biting...
Listen to me. It's true that the blood is on my soul. She was not a victim of hydrophobia.
What? All that about that hypodermic needle... I made it up. Neither you nor my wife was touched.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was The Thirsty Death, starring Bela Lugosi and John Carradine with Lorene Tuttle.
What's the matter, Ken? We didn't frighten you, did we?
Well, I'm afraid you did, Bela. That was pretty scary.
Oh, that was nothing.
Nothing?
No, wait till you hear next week's story. The Grand Guignol play about a woman who was buried alive. And my guest will be the beautiful and charming Simone Simon. Hope you and your audience will join me next week at Mystery House. Thank you.
Bela Lugosi is currently being starred in a series of Mystery House pictures at Universal Studios. You'll find Mystery House novels on sale at your local bookstore. John Carradine will soon be seen in the title role of Bluebeard. This is Ken Carpenter.
And so we see the paradox of jealousy. It often tortures and destroys the person it so covets. To explore the magic of old-time radio horror more deeply, take a peek behind the curtains of the Nerve-Wracking Auditorium by signing up at patreon.com/LordBloodDraw. Thank you for joining me in the Nerve-Wracking Auditorium, and I hope you'll come again. But now it's time for you to rejoin the, real world. I am Lord Bloodraw, and I'll be waiting here for you in the shadows of your mind until the next time you seek the darkness. Good night.